I feel like people are being pandered to right now. No one's being pushed outside of anything they want to do. Yeah, live your truth, whatever. I'm here to offer an alternative opinion. I'm Danielle Elizabeth, and this is my podcast. Aren't podcasts supposed to have cute names and stuff, though? Today, I wanted to talk about the power of not quitting, which to me sounds obvious. It sounds like, well, duh, obviously. And I almost wanted to call it the power of quitting, but I think I'm going to do an entirely different episode on the power of quitting. But to kick things off, I want to talk about the power of not quitting. This has been something I've been thinking a lot about lately, and just some themes have popped up in my own life and personal growth as far as some realizations that I've had of what has allowed me to get to the level that I'm at, which is nowhere near where I want to be. I don't want to confuse anyone into thinking that I think that I have it all figured out or that I have all the answers, or because I'm doing a podcast, it means that I've achieved some level of expertise that I can now bestow all of my wisdom and knowledge to you all. Like, I'm just figuring this out. I'm figuring it out like everybody else. I felt led to do this because I do think I have some things figured out. And I think that I still have so much to learn, but I've learned enough that maybe people who are younger than me or earlier in their careers, or not even necessarily younger, just at a different stage of life, maybe something that I feel like I've gone through can help somebody else. So I didn't know if I was going to mention him on this podcast or not, but I think I should because I literally discovered him like 2 days ago. Gary Vee, who I'm sure a lot of people know if you're into podcasts or YouTube or anything, I've just been living under a rock because I had heard people reference him, but I've never seen him or heard him speak about anything. And I was on my phone scrolling at like 1 a.m. the other night laying in bed, and I stumbled upon one of his videos, and I went down like a Gary Vee rabbit hole, and I was there for like 2 hours, just like watching like 5 minute clip after 5 minute clip after 5 minute clip. I woke up the next day and I was like, Gary Vee changed my life last night. And I told my sister, I said, because we're in Oklahoma right now, staying with family. And I said, do you know who Gary Vee is? And she said, no. And I said, well, he changed my life last night. And she said, does Josh know about this? Like, she hadn't heard of him either, but now I'm like gonna get everyone I know hooked on him probably. But you know, I know that he's an acquired taste for some and not everybody will agree with his style, but a lot of the depth of what he has to say is so true. And he focuses a lot on patience, and he tells young people, be patient with yourselves, be patient with yourselves. And I had planned this podcast to talk about the power of not quitting before I had seen these videos of his. And that was just one of the videos of his many that I saw. In this video, he tells this kid that he would trade everything he has to be 15 years old again. Time is such an asset, and you don't realize what you have, and youth is such an asset. And I think it applies to everybody, no matter what age they are. But he's saying, be patient with yourself. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with the process. And I thought that was really good and really wise advice. But I'd like to take it a step further, because for me and what I want to talk about, I don't even know that patience is the right word. Because I'm not really talking about like focusing on yourself and your personal growth and, you know, finding what you want to do. I'm talking about, let's pretend that you've gone through that process already. You know what you want. You have a dream. So patience in a way, yes. But patience to me is a passive word. Patience to me is like the word when you're trying to figure out what it is that you want to do. But once you figure that thing out, it turns into a process. So in that process, you're going to have a lot of ups and downs. And you have to be actively involved in that process. So patience, to me, is a passive word, which is good. And it's great, especially for kids in their early 20s. I agree with the Gary Vee belief that in your early 20s is your time to figure out what you want to do. Let's talk about once you figure that out, you have a dream. You know what it is that you want. You're going to need a lot of tenacity. You're going to need to persevere. You're going to need to pick yourself up time and time again to pursue that dream. You're going to need to be actively involved in the process of pursuing your dreams. I looked up the definition of tenacity because I know it, but I just wanted to, you know, you just want to double check and make sure you're not stupid. I do that a lot. But tenacity is basically having the mind of someone who just won't quit, someone who is tenacious. That's really what I'm talking about here, is that, like, be a roach. You know how you, like, can't kill a roach? They're just kind of like the indestructible bug that no matter what you do, it seems like you can't get rid of it. You can't kill it. Like, be a roach. I want to talk about this because I think it's really important that people understand that tenacity, perseverance, all those things, it doesn't mean that you wake up every morning and you feel great and you feel motivated and you're like, yeah, I'm going to crush my goals today. Hashtag can't stop, won't stop. Like, hashtag pre-workout, whatever. Like, whatever gets you going, that's great. I still haven't found something that helps me because I have bad days. I have days where all I want to do is lay in bed. I have days where I get depressive, and it's less frequently now than it was a year ago, and it was less frequent a year ago than it was 2 years ago. So I feel like I'm working and improving on that, but I still have bad days. And if I told myself that I have to get up every morning and love what I do, and if I don't love what I do every single minute of every single moment that I'm doing it, then it's not what I'm meant to do. I would have quit a long time ago. I would have quit a long time ago. I would have pursued a totally different route in my life, a totally different dream, and I wouldn't be where I'm at today. And for those of you who don't know where I'm at today, let me paint a picture. I am not rich. I'm not even close. I still have so far to go, like I said, but we have a decently successful destination wedding photo video business. And Josh is growing the video part even more to include corporate clients. And we're launching a media company later this year where we can help companies with branding, PR, content, social media content, branded content, things like that. Our goal is to help companies and individuals from start to finish define and launch their brand and manage that after they launch it. So we live in New York City, which was my dream. My dream was to move there. I guess I can use this time to talk about, like, how I even have any expertise to talk about this. So from a young age, I was obsessed with New York. I was obsessed with the idea of New York before I'd ever even visited New York. And the first time I visited New York, I had signed up for an internship and gotten it at WABC Radio in New York City, which is really funny that I'm doing a podcast because things just have a way of coming full circle in your life. And back then, I thought the idea of doing a talk radio show was a cool idea. And I always thought I would want it to be about politics and things like that, which, you know, you never know. But it's still very interesting to you know, the irony right there. Let's just stay there for a minute. But I got this internship. It was a very coveted internship. It was a really good internship. I'm 19 years old, 1 year of college under my belt. I get off the train at Penn Station. I go up the escalator. The very first thing I see is 7th Avenue. There's cabs, you know, parked outside honking, cars racing. It's right underneath Madison Square Garden, like the entrance. So if you've seen that on a movie, then you know what I'm talking about, where it's just the middle of Midtown. And my office was right above that and where I was going to be interning. So I'm instantly in love. I, like, look over. There's a woman. She's like, this was in 2003. Payphones were still a thing. There's a lady on a payphone, I'm assuming homeless, and was just screaming and cussing into it and kept slamming it on the receiver and, like, MF-er, blah, 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 you don't know me, and just slamming the crap out of this phone into this receiver. And, like, I looked at my mom and I was like, I love it here. And I don't know what it was. It was just like, I thrive in chaos. I thrive in environments that most people would consider not normal, not preferable. I crave change. I crave diversity. I crave excitement. And if you don't crave those things, that doesn't mean I'm not talking to you today. I'm just telling you a little bit about myself. If you crave peace and tranquility and all those things, great. More power to you. Let's talk about that too. But for me, I've always craved change. I've always craved more. I've always craved bigger. And to me, it doesn't get any bigger and better than New York. It just doesn't. I love New York. It's the greatest city in the world. I don't think I will ever change my mind on that. And having lived there for 18 months now, I still feel that way. So that was a huge dream that I've had for a long time, was living in New York City. And even though that's kind of vague, it's like, well, what are you going to, I don't know, just live there. Like, to me, that was still a big goal. For me, that meant not just like for a month or 2 months or a summer. It meant doing what we're doing now, paying bills, having a lease, having an apartment, investing in our community there, doing business there, all of those things. So we moved there when I was 33, and I did my internship when I was 19. So it took me 14 years to even achieve the small goal of moving to that city. And I say small goal because for me, it was a big dream, but like in the grand scheme of things, there was no dollar sign attached to that dream. It wasn't like live in New York City and be a millionaire. It was just like live in New York City, which is my fault for not being super specific, but I'm working on defining some of my new dreams now that I feel like I've achieved a lot of them. Another dream that I had that was a big dream in high school was travel to the Amalfi Coast in Italy. And I hadn't even thought about that dream in a long time. And last year, we got a destination wedding client that wanted to get married in Paris and then wanted us to travel to Italy with them to do a photo shoot while they were on their honeymoon. And where were they going on their honeymoon? They're going to the Amalfi Coast in Italy. So a lot of the dreams or bucket list items, I guess you'd say, that I've had in my life, I'm kind of at this point where I've checked them off the list. And I'm in a place where I'm preaching to you as much as I am to myself that I've first of all got to be patient with myself in the developing of the dreams. And then after I develop them, I need to persevere in achieving them. And so a lot of my dreams now are much more business oriented. They're much more specific dollar signs oriented. There's a lot more specificity to my dreams. And honestly, it's just as scary. I feel like it's just as scary to have these dreams. Even though I've had these good things happen to me in my life, I feel like it's just as scary to go out and dream these bigger dreams as it was to dream the original dreams in the first place. But they say if your dreams aren't scaring you, then you're not dreaming big enough. So that's kind of where I'm at, just to give you an idea of where I've been. And I love New York. I'm sure I'll do a whole episode talking about New York, or five episodes. I don't even know, at some point, and we can dive deeper into all of this. But just to give you a basic synopsis of my life so far and my dreams and my goals and not giving up on that dream and where I'm at today. And as far as my business goes, I have big business dreams, big business goals that I have not achieved, but some of them I have, and some of them I didn't even know that I had. So, you know, the power of not quitting. If we talk about the career that I have now, the career that my husband and I have, that we get to do this amazing life together. We travel together. We get paid to travel. We get to be with couples and clients on their happiest days of their life. We just feel so blessed, honestly, really not like hashtag blessed, like really blessed to get to do what we do. But there's also been a lot of perseverance that has led us here. There's been a lot of moments we've wanted to quit, a lot. I say all of this to say, once again, you're going to have bad days. I'm not the person to coach you on how to get out of bed every morning and want to hit the ground running. I'm still looking for that myself. I'm still looking for somebody, Gary Vee maybe, to kick my butt into gear on a daily basis. I have been my own motivator for most of the time. So I feel like what I am trying to tell you is let yourself off the hook when you have a bad day, when you have a bad week, when you have a bad month, when you have a bad year. Your dream is still there. It's still going to be there. If you take a year off, your dream didn't change. It didn't go away. Like, you can push your dreams down in your soul. Like, you can violently suppress them, but they don't just go away. So you can convince yourself that the consolation prize of a life that you've chosen for yourself is what you really wanted. Or you can really push through. You can push through the bad year, the bad years. You can move on. You can choose to move on. And you can choose to keep pursuing your dreams. They didn't go away. They didn't go anywhere. I don't care how long your dreams have been sitting on the shelf. They're still there. and you can pick him right back up. Like, little by little, if you start pursuing this, it's going to rekindle that fire. So even if you honestly are like, well, I don't even know if I really want that. Like, whenever we were planning to move to New York, and you're going through all the processes of, like, because we didn't plan it as a temporary move. Like, we both knew. I don't think our friends and family really understood, because we've moved to LA and moved back. We've moved a lot of places. I don't think our friends and family really knew how serious we were about, like, starting a life there. That, like, that was going to be the place that, like, we're going to die. Like, we're going to live and die there. Like, that's kind of our thing. And once we started leaning into that dream, we started having a lot of fears. I started wondering, is this even really a dream I have anymore? What if I get to New York and I'm unhappy? What if I get there and it doesn't fulfill me the way that I think that it's going to, you know? And a lot of people, I think, use that as an excuse to not pursue their dreams. They're like, oh, well, it wouldn't really make me that happy anyway. I just don't think I'd really enjoy it that much. And you start telling yourself that something wouldn't really make you happy, when really it's just your fear talking. Really, it's just you're afraid. You're afraid of taking the steps that you need to take. You're afraid of jumping off the deep end and going for it. And so you convince yourself that you're happier in this situation. And some people might be. I mean, who am I to say? Some people might really be happier with their plan B. And that's not for me to judge or to say. But what I am here to say is that if you're dead set on plan A, if you refuse to have a plan B, I don't care how long it takes you, you can still do it. I don't care how old you are, you can still do it. And when I say the power of not quitting, I'm not talking about something happening quickly. And, like, that's great. Like, if something happens for you quickly, that's amazing. But even if it doesn't, even if it's taken you 14 years and a divorce and a remarriage and a bunch of other crap in between, you can still do it. It's still a worthy dream. Don't discount your dreams. Don't tell yourself that, oh, those were just the dreams of my youth, and real grown-ups have to get serious about life. Real grown-ups have to have a job they hate and get a paycheck that pays for stuff that they don't really want, and children and things that may not be your dream. Stop living someone else's life. Live your life. If you feel like you are living someone else's life, snap out of it. Slap yourself awake. Do what you have to do to yank yourself out of the nightmare you're living and start to walk into your dreams. So let's talk about, you know, if you start, like, what does it look like if you started to pursue your dream slowly, little by little? Start a change jar, open a savings account, start planning your website. Seriously, squarespace.com, not sponsored, but that'd be awesome if I was. $16 a month, Squarespace. You can build your own website. They're beautiful. They have built-in fonts, colors, etc. You do not need to have $2,000 to pay someone to build a website for you. You don't have to have that if you can't afford that. Start dreaming and looking at Zillow and Trulia for housing and apartments or houses in the area that you want to move to. If that's part of your dream is changing locations, start allowing your brain to think about what it would be like if your dream actually came true. Put together a budget. Get out of debt. Sell everything you own that isn't absolutely necessary to move with you into this next chapter and start actively pursuing your dream. Seriously, a lot of people don't pursue their dreams because they have too much stuff. Because they think about, like, moving and what all that would require. And they get exhausted just thinking about packing their crap. Leave it. Burn it. Who cares? Move. Stop letting that stuff hold you back. But here's the thing. I think that we have a big problem with people who do that. I mean, I think we have enough people out there pushing people these days to pursue their dreams. People are taking the leap and then they're regretting it a year later because it didn't work out the way that they thought or as quickly as they thought. And they're quitting and they're moving back to their crappy life and they're giving up and they're saying, I just couldn't do it. I failed. I feel like failure really isn't real unless you quit. And by quit, I mean quit on life. I mean completely walk away, throw your hands up, and give up. I feel like failure is a construct of society. Because truly, what defines failure when you think about it? You know, being below the poverty line? Well, who's to say that those people aren't in the process of building a dream, you know? So someone's a failure just because they don't make a certain amount of money per year? No, not necessarily. There's people that probably make a ton of money that are failures because they've given up. I feel like I need to say to you listening, I feel like I need to say this directly to you. Stop feeling like a failure because you lost a client, because you made a bad business deal, because you messed up a relationship. Stop feeling like a failure. Those things are part of the process. Those things are part of the journey on the road to success. That is life. Life is full of ups and downs. And it can't be up, 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 up all the time. It just can't. It won't be. It doesn't work that way. But I feel like people use these micro failures as an excuse to quit on the big dream. These tiny, insignificant blips on the radar are making people throw their hands up and give up on the big dream. Why? Why are you willing to sacrifice so much to get to the point that you're at to just walk away? And you say, oh, well, it wasn't my choice. I didn't have a choice. I had to walk away. No, you didn't. You didn't have to walk away from your dream. That was a choice. It's always a choice. And self-sabotage is real. That is a thing. That is a very, very real thing where you may not feel like you've had a choice, but you have made choices along the way that have forced you and backed you into a corner where you've had to make a decision to give up on your dream, but it was still a choice. It was a series of choices that happened a while back when you started to mess your life up. But you can stop all of that. Seriously, you don't have to stay in that. Just because that's the way that things have been for a while doesn't mean that it has to stay that way. So you dive in, you're like, I'm doing it. I'm selling everything I own. I'm moving to this place or I'm starting this business. I'm all in. A year down the road, things aren't looking quite what you thought they'd look like. It doesn't work out right away. A year or two, let's say your dad gets sick or a family member dies. You have to focus on different priorities for a while. That is a very real thing that happens in society. And I think that, you know, a lot of people don't like to focus on this verse in the Bible because I think that it makes people, it ruins people's idea that Jesus was this like cuddly teddy bear. So Jesus was gathering disciples basically. And in the process, he met a man that wanted to follow him, but he said, Lord, permit me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said to him, follow me and allow the dead to bury their dead. And I'm sure everyone's heard that reference before, or most people have, let the dead bury the dead. It's like, what does that even mean? To me, I think it means you can't have it both ways. And we want it to be both ways. We want to be able to do all the things that we want to do. And we also want to grieve a loss forever. But there's a season for everything. But I really think that people use the death of a family member as an excuse to give up on their dreams. I think that is a big one. And it might seem like a valid one, and I might seem like a jerk for calling this out. But to allow the death of a loved one to stop you from pursuing your dreams only compounds the tragedy. So take a year off. Take a year off from the grind, not from your dream, but from the daily grind of working towards it if you need to. Take time to heal. Work through the process, but keep slowly moving forward. Do not give up. Don't turn back. Don't walk away. Work through your grief as you walk forward in the process of pursuing your dreams. And then once you feel like you're in the acceptance phase of the grieving process, use your residual pain to realize the gravity of your situation and let it drive you to greatness. The gravity of your situation, the gravity of my situation is that we're all going to die. We're all going to die. So what do you want to leave behind? If you'd like to receive notifications about new episodes, be sure to subscribe to this podcast.